look up. Look way up. He sits alone atop the standings. Bob McCown and Primetime Sports. Now on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It's 4 o'clock on Sportsnet 590 The Fan at 360. Tim, remember earlier this summer when McCown hijacked our show?
Yeah, he came in a little bit earlier, which is really weird. It was like in about an hour and a half before his show, and he just kind of squatted on our show and kicked us out.
He's like, get out.
Started taking phone calls.
Well. How the tables have turned on the tables.
That have turned. And stuff. Bob McCown.
He's in a bike lane.
Is not here.
Stuck.
He is stuck in traffic. And thus those looking for the very well-schooled, articulate, genius that normally hosts this show are stuck with us. I'm Tim McAuliffe. I sit beside Sid Sixero for a living. See what you're already stuck with?
There you go. Already screwed up.
I can't even say my partner's name.
Unbelievable.
But we are going to sit here and help navigate the way through Bob McCown not being here. Now, normally, the Friday show, correct me if I'm wrong here, Sid, first hour phone calls, second and third hour Friday roundtable.
Yeah. And then there's a knitting segment somewhere in here, a little origami. It's a full Friday show.
How's the knitting segment go?
It's amazing.
Does Bob do the knitting himself?
It weaves together nicely.
Producer Matt Marchese taking phone calls, and producer Ryan Walsh just walking around doing stuff because that's what he does.
Stephen Brunner, Rash Madani, John Shannon will be the roundtable this evening. Will Bob be here or not? I don't know. We'll find out. Between then and now, you got Tim and I. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590.
The choice is yours. Like Bob, we will just open up the phones.
Ba-na-na-da-da-da.
And whatever you would like to talk about, we will talk about. Now, Matt, confirm with me, Bob's okay. He's just stuck in traffic.
He's
so
fine.
He's listening to 680 right now.
He's been really gassy also since late last night.
Okay, so
maybe too much information, but he's okay generally.
Now, how do you know that?
He has a Thursday Tostitos thing, and it's a problem, but it's tasty at the time.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell phone. It is Friday, October 24th, 2014. And Bob McCown's not here.
What are the odds Bob is in his car right now, seething, listening to this, just pissed off out of his mind? Like, do we mock in this moment? Do we go, hey, we're here. You can't do a damn thing about it.
I would say that the odds are better that he's sitting in the underground garage enjoying whatever he may be enjoying at the moment.
I think you're right.
And thinking, who gives a bleep so long as those guys are covering my butt?
Opening up the big league chew. Sounds right. A big league chew.
Right.
Top down on the Jag.
Undoes the windows.
Undoes the windows.
Chews on some big league chew.
Zeppelin 3, full blast. Siaz from Oshawa's first up. How you doing?
Hi there, guys.
What's going on?
How are you?
Okay.
I really wish Bob was on the radio because my comment was more directed towards Bob, but I'll let you guys know what I had to say.
We'll answer it as Bob.
I think you're not the only person.
I listen to all you guys, you know, every day. So my comment to Bob was, I'm not sure why he hates the Leafs so much. Like every single time the Leafs are on the discussion topic, he rips them and he makes fun of them. And I'm not really sure why. Like, I really want to know what his issue is with the Leafs. And I can understand there's fans out there who are frustrated with the Leafs. But remember, they're our home team. You know, there are other teams out there that are worse than the Leafs. You know, we sell out. Look at Florida.
Like, Florida bad.
They can barely get 2,000 people to come to see
Buffalo's bad.
Hold on.
There's a lot of teams out there that are horrible. And I really hope Bob's listening to this because I really want to know what his issue is with the Leafs. I can understand he has an issue with management, but you know what? At the end of the day, they're our team. You know what? They haven't made the playoffs. They made the playoffs a few years ago, and they got beat in Game 7, and whatever happened. But you know, what is his issue? And maybe you guys can, you know, enlighten
they
me.
They suck! They haven't won the cup since 1967! Hockey that's is as fine, big though. In this that's city fine. As anyone else, and one loser after another comes walking in with a nice suit, hair faded to the side, and a rep, and they can't fix it! What do you mean, why does he not like the Leafs? They're a joke! They've been a joke the entire time! I love I Oshawa, but you should be able to figure this out!
You know what? If you guys are a radio show host in another city, you guys can rip the Leafs, but don't rip them in Toronto.
I'll rip them any damn time I want.
You know, but hold on. Hold on. See, don't cut him off. Did you cut him off?
No, he's still
here. Okay. I'm here.
Okay,
here.
See us. See us.
Yeah.
I'm here. If you are paid to be an unbiased reporter of news, what have the Toronto Maple Leafs been for the last 3 decades?
I completely agree with you guys, but
I don't think
so.
Jays.
But no,
look
but
at the Jays, like they spend so.
No,
much
the
money
Jays of the Jays have won 2 World Series. The Florida Panthers that you're mocking went to a Stanley Cup final.
Doug McClain.
Like, what are we talking about here? This team's futility has been pretty close to unseen, unless you're a fan of the Chicago Cubs.
I'm not going to argue with you guys on the radio. That's fine.
No, but...
You can cut me off.
I'm not going to cut you off. I want you to answer that.
You're still on. Go ahead. Talk. Who's cutting you off?
No, I just want...
You want Bob to be a cheerleader for the team?
When I listen to you guys are very... you know, you guys... It's not... The criticism's there, but there's a way of providing the criticism. Everyone's frustrated with the Leafs. Mm-hmm. I'm frustrated with the Leafs as well, too. But, you know, the way Bob... criticizes them, it's like they've done something to him personally that he hates them that much.
Yeah, I think you're reading a little too much into it.
Yeah, I would hazard on the side of Sid. I'll give you your last word unless he's gone. He's gone. All right. I disagree. I just think that Bob, no wonder you wanted to talk to Bob. You wanted to confront him about his lack of respect for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I kind of wanted to hear that too. I would love to hear Bob's response to that. Bob, you're not nice enough to the Leafs. Discuss. And then it's 5:00. He'll cut the break. He won't even go to for the 8-minute break.
I'll just
talk.
Like, I don't know how you could be. Yeah, I guess it's fandom and that's cool.
It's fandom and that's cool. Yeah. But there also is a sense of reality that has to be taken into account here. And the fact is, results matter.
No,
I hate to break this to everyone.
No,
in this market.
But everyone knows. That.
Well, we talked to a guy who doesn't know that.
I don't know if he doesn't know that.
Nah, I think he doesn't know that. I'm pretty sure.
No, because he said, I understand that you're talking about.
No, but he also said, I understand, but be nice to them. So I don't think he gets it. I don't think he gets it. But that's fine.
I would love to have the conversation of why is it that it's been so long for a cup in Canada? And why is it that the Leafs have stunk for so long? Like, it would have to be hard to only have gone to conference championships since 1967. Like, you couldn't try to fail that miserably on the grand scheme of things and do it as well as the Toronto Maple Leafs have done it since 1967. Like, I would bet that even by accident, you would have had to have made at least a cup final.
But even those conference teams, how many of those guys were homegrown guys? I mean, Poffin was a homegrown guy. Gilmore's from somewhere else. Natchez is from somewhere else. Andrew Tuck's from somewhere else.
Say Natchez?
Rick Natchez. I'm a Rick Natchez guy.
Okay.
Jamie McCowan, Rick Natchez, great pair.
Matt Sundin,
another organization. This team can't draft. This team hasn't drafted since 1967. This is not complicated.
No, I know, but they brought in a lot of people.
Who think they
can draft.
Try
and rectify the situation.
Mark Hunter is the latest.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a great rep. I'll concede that to Mark Hunter. This team on draft day have no idea what they're doing. Now, there's some hits throughout the years, and I'm sure people will tweet them in.
Mm-hmm.
But what are we talking about? How do you go this long without coming close to winning a cup?
Like ESPN is unbiased, and they've ranked the Toronto Maple Leafs as the worst franchise in North American professional sport.
But what frustrates, I agree with you, what frustrates people on a mic, i.e. me, is that the guys who walk into this city on a big paycheck have sold everyone on the fact that they can figure this out. At least from a talent evaluation standpoint. Figure it out. I want truculence. I want a fast team. I want a tough team. I want this. I want that. And after 4 years, the Emperor doesn't have any clothes. And they've been going after big fish. There have been people who've lobbied, who've leaked to the media to get jobs in this city because they think they can reach the Holy Grail, which is winning a cup in this city. What? And it's just so amazing to see all of them fall on their ass. And that's why they don't get love. If anyone has any questions, that's why. I'm trying to explain it further.
No, but I think, here's what I think. I think people think that media guys bash the Leafs because they think that's what sells. When in reality, the Leafs bash themselves with their own record. Like, I think the idea out there is that the media somehow thinks they're smarter than everyone who's ever been here, and they're just crushing everybody else. When in actuality, the Leafs' record speaks for itself. That's like, what I think.
I can barely, hey, it's Bob McCown. Hey, Bob, why aren't you nicer to the Leafs?
Hey, Bob, we got a message for you from Ciaz.
Ciaz wants you to make a stop of the bet stuff with the Leafs.
In Oshawa.
Nice. Bob McCown has just walked into the studio. I don't know.
First, explain yourself for being late. Hey, we got a message from Ciaz in Oshawa.
Do you have a late note? Do you have a slip?
Do you have a
doctor's note?
Let me start by saying this.
What time is the 4 o'clock show?
John Shannon, get
when
out.
When I get
John,
here.
John, you got to get out.
That's what time it starts.
He's already upset. The global ambassador is heckling Bob right when he sat down. You can't do this.
He's got a tee.
You can't do this.
I mean, hold on a second. You had time to stop for a tee?
Yeah, I stopped right there.
You're late.
Oh, you're late.
You're late.
You guys were talking.
And you're
getting, I don't want to interrupt you.
And you're getting chamomile? We're sitting here.
We had to deal with CS from Oshawa.
I've run out of things to say an hour ago. And we're sitting here still?
Bob, 3 words. Hill Street Blues.
Okay, now John Shannon's not helping. John Shannon's not helping.
What are you looking for, Bob? Can we help you with anything?
No, I got to fix the computer.
Oh, you got to set the computer up, too.
Would you like me to get you a Joe Louis?
All right,
are you comfortable?
Call? Here,
get you a half moon.
You got another call we can take while Bob's fixing his computer and having his tea?
By the way, those shoes rented?
Don't rip my shoes. Don't rip my shoes. I'll let the guys at Moore's take care of me.
Listen, I'd like to thank the two of you for pitching in, but I think what's more important is I want to apologize to the audience for having to listen to you two idiots for an extra 11 minutes.
Apologize.
Is important.
All right, Jason in Toronto, you're up next. Jason.
Boys, hey.
Hang on a second. Are you staying?
Go ahead, Jason.
I said, hey, when Bob comes in, you guys got to make a relax for him, okay?
Okay.
But, hey,
Bob, Jason says make a relax.
No, he says saying to us.
Oh, he's going to say to us.
Yeah, we have to laugh.
Well, this guy's an idiot.
Hey, I'll tell you right now, for that last guy who called in, if Bob was listening, that guy would have got cut off within 2 seconds.
I didn't hear him, so I don't know what he said.
He was getting a brand muffin. He didn't hear the segment.
two comments, one question.
To who?
Two comments, one question.
To who?
Two comments, one question. For Tim and Sid.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'll leave. Go ahead.
comment number one, ketchup is overrated.
Thank you.
Vince Carter is way bigger for Canada basketball than Steve Nash any day of the week.
Oh, here we go.
And number three, Anthopoulos, if he has a chance to get Joe Maddon, he better fire Gibbons right away.
Oh, Gibbons right is amazing. John Gibbons is the best manager in the American League. Why would you get rid of John Gibbons? Why? Give me one reason why.
John Gibbons has brought to Jason how many playoff appearances?
No, listen, John, he's a good guy, and managers don't matter in baseball. Don't you know that, Jason?
Hey, Sid, in high school, you know, nice guys finish last.
Yeah. We also don't get laid.
Here's a statistical accuracy. Gibbons has produced as many playoff appearances for the Toronto Blue Jays as Maddon has produced playoff appearances for the Toronto Blue Jays. So it's a tie.
Boom, you just got McCowan. Boom. Friday, chamomile tea and facts. Together at last. What's going on, Bob? How you doing?
So what happened? Are you okay?
What happened?
Good. I was in Niagara. I had a meeting in Niagara this morning, and I left, and there's an accident on the QEW, and I'm like, it's dead stopped. And then you get to the Gardner, and it's dead stopped. So I got off the Gardner eventually and got on the lake shore, and then you can't make a left turn on Jarvis, and then
bike lanes.
Bike lanes on Sherburne. And by the way, I heard the bike lane thing. And the truth is, I drove up Sherbourne. Sherbourne has bike lanes on both sides instead of an extra lane of traffic.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Guess how many bicycle guys I saw?
Minus one.
Exactly.
Yep. Minus
that's
one.
That's impossible.
Zero.
Minus one. It is statistically a fact. Minus
what
one.
Is the point of having a bicycle lane on Sherbourne, but not one on Blue or on Jarvis or Young? Or I mean, if you're going to have them, they should be on every street. Do you think bicycle riders that want to go up Young Street are going to go, oh, well, there's no bike lane here. I'm going to go over to Sherbourne because there's a bike lane there.
It's a relatively new one, Sherbourne.
I don't care how new it is. Either you're all in or you're not in at all.
Okay, I'll take that. Yeah.
It's the dumbest idea ever.
How about this? Beard lanes. If you have a beard, you can go wherever. Let's make beard lanes in Toronto.
I like that.
Beard. Condor lanes. Let's have a lane where there's just condors. If they want to go to Hasty Market, they can. And condors, we can build 30 of them.
And we have all these two to a car lane now. Lanes, right?
Carpooling. That one I kind of get.
Yeah, carpooling isn't two people in a car. Happens to be with you. Oh, goody, we can go in the lane.
That's all they're asking of this city.
It's a little light, isn't it? Don't you think?
Yeah. I agree with you, but there's so many people that drive one person.
But it's something.
They're just saying, not even a pool.
Like a six people to a car lane. All right, go ahead. Yeah. I get that, but two?
There was in Mississauga, they had guys were getting caught with dummies in the passenger seat.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That's in L.A.
Blow-up dolls.
Yeah. That's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Well, so here's the other one. How many people cheat in the two-person lane? Apparently a lot. Here's how I know. Because as you come south off on the 404 from Newmarket or wherever you happen to come from, in my case, it's my golf club. Now, I'm in the two-passenger lane because I'm with somebody, and I'm going to make the turn onto the 401 westbound.
Well, that thing is...
And you go down under that viaduct thing and around the turn. What's parked underneath that overpass more often than not? A police officer...
Cop car.
Looking for guys cheating.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gone under there and seen this guy a half a dozen times. I've never seen him with fewer than one person already pulled over. So people are cheating all over the place. I think these people need to get life imprisonment. Like, if you're going to have a law that says you got to have two people in the car.
Good to see Bob's on heavy-handed on his
chest. So then you got, I mean, clearly a $150 fine, or whatever it is, isn't doing the job. We've established that. People say, out of hell with it, I'll take my chances that no one will see me. And down the lane they go. Now, if you get caught, I think the rest of your life in prison is a fair punishment. I believe that's a deterrent.
My wife got caught.
Well,
throw away the key.
In Bob's world, Tim will miss you.
In Bob's world, Tim's going out tonight.
I sense a Twitter hashtag.
In your
hashtag
world, you're a single world. Man.
My wife got cut off. And to avoid the accident, she got into that lane.
Oh, sure she did.
No, listen. So she.
Yeah,
so,
right.
So she's like, you know the area. Like, whoever invented that area should be fired. Because I live at the DVP in the 401, and that went from being kind of slow to a complete and utter bottleneck.
It's every chaos, every day, every hour of the day.
I've never seen anything screw up as bad as whoever changed. They changed it about 2 years ago, and that person is an idiot. So my wife gets cut off, and she goes
into the other thing.
She goes into the other lane.
And now you got to go down that path.
But she's like, it's clear sailing.
And the cop is under there, right?
Yeah. She goes, it's clear sailing. I'm just going to go here. I'm just going to keep.
That's right.
So it started with the cutoff. It continued with her, and she's like, What are the odds? I get nailed doing this when I got to sit in this junk every day. Because her parents live up there. I got to sit in that thing every day.
Yeah. Pull over.
Oh. So she got.
Cool. Thank you, Art Eggleton.
Life in prison.
Rob wants to know on Twitter.
I don't do Twitter on this show.
Is that?
Yes, okay. You do.
Sorry,
Twitter.
Sorry. Sid telepathically is telling me right now, is that cranky T Bob right now? He needs to let off some steam by taking some calls.
All right. Well, now what are you guys doing this week? What are you doing? You're not taking a selfie, are you?
I'm taking a selfie with Bob Live on here. This is happening.
Oh, my God.
Here we go. And It's amazing.
I don't know what he's doing. Do you want to take another call? What do you want to do?
The back of a head.
Do you want to stay?
And
I'm going to stay for a segment.
I don't, I don't get this
opportunity. Well, this is the almost the end of the segment.
Yeah, we'll stay till the end of the segment.
All right, go ahead. Take the call. I'll just sit here.
I'm going to tweet it out.
You like doing this, really, don't you? Do you want to know where? I can tell you. Jonathan in Brampton.
Yeah, how's it going, Bob?
Swell. Surrounded.
I just have a quick comment about Dion Phaneuf.
Heard of him.
I was wondering, you know, possible trade opportunities. I feel like he doesn't do anything for the team. You know, they threw the captain on him, the captaincy on him as soon as he came. Maybe trade from Joe Thurman, a proven leader. You know, I feel like he's a Landry Fields of the team. He doesn't really do anything. So I feel like get rid of him.
I'd trade him for a cheese doodle. And which is, I think, about what you could get for him. So I wouldn't raise the bar too much higher.
Oh, come on. He's making
cheese doodle.
$3 million a year. You can move a $3 million contract.
Wait.
What's he making? Yeah, never mind.
You're a little bit more than $3 million.
Seven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the Raptors moved Rudy Gay, anything possible.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Call Masai Ujiri and see what he can do. Because Leaf management can't do anything. They know how to lose. That's about all they know how to do.
I agree with that.
Thanks for the call. Peter Barry. Hi. Pete.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good. Hey, I had a question. What, do you agree with allowing icing when teams are shorthanded in hockey? Why would you get the unfair advantage of being able to ice the puck when you can't normally, when you're the one that's taking a penalty? And wouldn't eliminating icing during a power play cause more face-offs and more action and excitement?
100% agree. I've felt that way for a long time.
Really?
Yep.
Great.
Icing is icing. Icing is icing. You shouldn't get any kind of benefit if you're playing shorthanded.
I agree. Where do you golf, Bob? And can you come out to Bushfoot and take a lesson with the pro there?
I'll meet you at Bushfoot.
Great. Bushwood.
That's what I said. Yeah, Bushwood. Even better.
Bushwood, but only because we're public.
I can't tell you where I play because then I'd have to shoot you. And it's a matter of national security. I can't divulge that information.
I like the rushes. Can I just add this? I like the rushes on the power play. But can we get rid of coincidental minors? I think we really need to get rid of coincidental
minors. How do you get rid of them?
Well, just go 4-on-4.
And I see what you mean. We not get rid of the penalty, but get rid of the idea that coincidental minors, you still play 5-on-5?
What? That's the most ridiculous thing in the world.
Well, I don't understand that either. Why do they do that?
We need to get rid of it.
And clearly, what you want is you want more 4-on-4 hockey, don't you?
Of course you do. It's the most exciting hockey that we have right now.
Go 3-on-3.
Sure.
If there's a man in the box and there's another...
2-on-2. 1-on-1.
4-on-3.
Two goaltenders. Just two goaltenders on the ice, shooting the puck back and forth with each other.
Just going at it.
Yeah. What that would
look like. We're going to solve hockey here.
No, I'm serious about this.
And if one of the goaltenders gets a penalty, then what?
Empty net.
2 minutes, nobody on the ice. Crowd goes for a beer. That's not all bad, you know?
Well, I think they'd score the goal, and then the guy would be
people in
the
platinum
box.
Seats wouldn't even notice.
That's true.
After the first period, they don't even come back anymore.
They get stuck eating sushi.
Bill in New Westminster, B.C. Hi.
Hi, Bob. I bet you preferred being stuck in the traffic rather than sitting between those two
guys. I bet you preferred being stuck in the traffic. I'm New Westminster.
See, I got a 5-year-old on my left.
$100 bill, y'all.
How the salmon belly's doing?
Jake Gardner, they say he's got talent, right? He's not a defenseman. Ever try putting him up on the forward line?
I don't think
like
he's tried. They've tried it. I mean, you know, it's
then,
not the dumbest thing.
Switch Fratton with Ashton all the time.
We talked a bit about it a couple weeks ago.
Red Kelly.
Wendell Clark never played defense in the NHL, I don't think.
No, in junior he did.
But in junior he was a defenseman. Yeah.
But he was also 5'11".
So there are guys that have done it.
Can I just ask you about your comments about the PGA, the head of the PGA guy? And his little girl comment, and apparently it's insulted half the world. Are we that sensitive?
I saw the comment. It's in response to, what's his name?
Ian Poulter.
Ian Poulter's book. I haven't read Poulter's book. I'm not going to read Poulter's book. Poulter's an idiot. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Should we be offended by that comment?
This was the PGA president of America, right?
The president of the PGA of America, whose name escapes me, but I can remember seeing him at the Ryder Cup.
There's a thing. Listen, I mean, the one thing people have to remember on that story, and I saw it firsthand. I was in Detroit in 2004 few guys enjoy beating the United States more than Ian Poulter in a Ryder Cup.
No.
So there is a definite...
Poulter is and not well-liked. He's got a big ego. He, several years ago, claimed he was going to be better than Tiger Woods and, you know, on and on and on. I mean, whatever. But I don't know how these comments be viewed offensive.
He called Ian Poulter a little girl?
Yeah.
He did?
I don't even know the relevance of calling him a little girl. Based on what? You know, again, I haven't read the book. I don't know the whole... I don't pretend to know the whole story. But I saw the quote in the newspaper, I think, this morning. Nice. And I kind of looked at it and went, what's the relevance of that? I don't get it. One more before you two guys get to go home. Gary in Newfoundland.
Hi, Bob, Tim, and Sid. I just want to call. I've called many times into your show, and today I'm enjoying it because I'm getting a little relief from what's taken place in Canada the past week, and I want to thank each and every one of you for the shows that you do. It really eases the tension down here. So thanks very much, and I'll let you get back to your show.
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks, G-Money.
Thanks for the call. There's Gary in Newfoundland. Thanks, boys, for sitting in.
That was better than the other guy. Got mad at us for sitting here.
Oh, that guy didn't want anything to do with it. Hey, Bob, first question. These guys suck, eh? Second question. What do you think about Gardner? It's basically what he said.
Did you have a call that did that?
It just happened.
Yeah, the guy from New Westminster.
For it. When?
Salmon belly guy.
2 minutes ago.
I didn't hear it.
Because you're having your chamomile moment. That's why.
The Red Kelly guy.
He didn't like you guys?
Yeah, he's like, sorry, Bob, sorry that you have to sit between those two dopes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, but he was just funning you. He wasn't being serious.
No, he seemed like a guy you want to punch. You seem like that guy.
I think you hurt my feelings.
Do you want some scented candles? I got two in the desk. I don't know what they smell like exactly, but I think it could lend to the round
table.
What
are you talking about?
I just want to set the mood here. He has the tea. He took his time while he gets relaxed. Oh, Bob, right, today.
Right, I didn't take my time. I motored like a bat out of hell to get here.
Two words. Helicopter. You couldn't get one.
Kobe's got one.
Kobe's got a helicopter. You can land it here. It'd be a hell of a thing every day. It's like the grand entrance.
Two words. No money.
Ha. That's not two words.
Two more words. I'm married. The other two words, no money. It's prime time on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks.
Did Bob McCown just say what I think he said? You can rewind Primetime Sports Podcast when you subscribe at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. On demand.
Aren't bad enough. I leave my headset in a cabinet in the producer's room. Ryan Walsh, the producer of the program, holds the key. Today, when he went to put the key in the lock and open the cabinet to get my headset out, not to mention my coffee mug, the key broke in the lock. So that'll be about 6 months I'll be without my headset now. Now I got to go and buy another damn headset because I can't rely on these idiots around here to fix it. They can't even fix the sliding keyboards that we have under the studio, which attack people unexpectedly while they're sitting here trying to do the radio program. I was just trying to tape it up here. Look, I got the tape right here. Trying to fix it in advance of our guests coming in. Surprising we have tape with the hockey budget being what it is. Thomas in Toronto, hello.
Hey, Bob, I know exactly what you mean about those sliding keyboards. In my office, I got the same problem.
Yeah, the damn thing won't go back in, and now that's a mess. Anyway.
Absolutely brutal. I wanted to call and talk to you about a pet peeve of mine, and I'm actually kind of sorry that Sam and Ted left because they are the latest offenders in what to me is one of the great crimes of sports. Broadcasting. They did this offense today. I find that when radio, TV personalities, whoever they may be, when they're interviewing athletes or general managers or any sports figures, they ask questions and they let the athletes or the general managers dance around the answers without actually answering them
without following up and pressing. You actually are one of the only people that I've ever heard who follows up with a BS answer, follows up with a question to try and get the person to admit that it's BS. So today, this afternoon, Sam and Ted are interviewing Morgan Riley, our young Bobby Orr, of course. And they ask him, they say, you know, you guys have been pretty inconsistent the last couple of years. What are you and the coaches doing, and what are the coaches telling you to try and fix up your inconsistencies? What new strategies are you putting in? And he basically launches into a two-minute answer of, what we need to do is be more consistent. And I'm sitting there pulling my hair out. I could give a better answer than that, and I'm not even in the room.
Well, look, I'm not here to critique other broadcasters or who they choose to have on their shows. We rarely have active athletes on this program anymore. And when I say anymore, I mean in the last 20 years. And it's from experience, because what you understand, and part of it I'm sympathetic to, but these athletes get asked questions a lot. Most of them go to media school. They learn how to say nothing. Go watch Bull Durham. It's the classic. It's the classic evidence of how athletes are taught to say nothing while saying something. So the only response that you can give is try not to have them on. I mean, we're not 100% on it. Every once in a while we'll have an athlete on if we feel, A, that the athlete isn't the stereotypical guy who won't say anything, and or B, if the story we feel warrants it. To have athletes on just to talk in general terms about what's going on their with their lives, in on their teams, etc., is almost invariably a colossal waste of the listener and or viewer's time, not to mention, in the case of this show, my own. And while I'm sympathetic to your time, I have no interest in wasting mine. So athletes, as a general rule, are not going to be welcome here. Stevie London, hi.
Hi, Mr. McCown. I just wanted to let you know, I'm a 51-year-old male. My father, he's passed, but every afternoon he would sit in his chair. He was in a heart failure as well. He would listen to you, and we couldn't go anywhere until he was done listening. And he called you the house of radio, and he said you were a genius. And I said the other day to my wife, I said, you know what? It's such an inspiration. Every day I turn him on and I watch. I said, he's so knowledgeable about sports. But I'm in extreme hypertensive cardiomyopathy due to liver cancer. And oh, I got to tell you, I watch you. And when you said you went for the MRI, I wanted to come to the studio and say, you know what? Don't worry. It's going to be okay. And I document everything. I've got myself doing nuclear scans on my heart. MRIs, everything. And I hope everything is good with what you're going through. And but I was given today, I'm only pumping 19% of the blood to my vital organs. So it's getting a little weaker. But I just wanted to let you know, you, Tim, and Sid, you make a difference. You really do. And I watch you. And it takes my mind off of everything going around. So I just wanted to thank you for that.
Thanks, pal. And we'll be thinking about you every day. And we'll keep our fingers crossed. You hang in there, all right?
Thank you, my friend. And I'll continue to watch.
Thanks. Gary, hi. We have you on primetime.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, sir.
Well, all the best to the previous caller there, that's for sure. That's a tough one to follow up with.
Telling me.
Just a quick question for you, Bob, and not to put you on the spot, but two moves, if you had to make with the Leafs right now, what would they be? And that's all. Thank you.
Thanks. Wow. I I mean, you know, I guess what you're looking for is something outgoing as opposed to necessarily something incoming, because it's very difficult. It's, you know, I don't speculate on trades on this program. I don't encourage people to do that. It's too easy to do, and it really means nothing. I don't know if I can come up with two. I think in a more general sense, I'm unconvinced that the Toronto Maple Leafs are two moves away from being a significantly better team. Therefore, any two moves that you make are probably not going to be make a tangible difference. I mean, I could throw out a couple of names of guys, and they'd probably be obvious to you. You could probably guess. But I'm unconvinced that what you would get in return is going to make a difference right away. I think this team has to recognize its plight. Recognize that the core group that they have isn't good enough. And if it means ripping this thing down to the bone, then so be it. But there's no evidence of advancement of this team. This team doesn't appear so far this year to be significantly better than they were last year. Last year, they were worse than they were the year before that. And that was a strike-shortened year in which it's difficult to assess whether how good they were even that year. Maybe they just got lucky because they played 48 instead of 82 games. And there are people who believe that. That seven-game series against Boston raised expectations, and the organization wasn't able to follow up on it. Even I wondered after the Boston series, well, maybe they do have the nucleus here. Maybe a little tweak here and there. Maybe this team is going in the right direction. But teams that are going in the right direction rarely have setbacks over 82 games. And there's nothing I've seen this year that suggests that there'll be anything more, and nobody believes there'll be anything more than a team capable of competing for the last playoff spot. Might get there, might not. But there's no forward movement. What is there to look forward to? What do you see 2 years from now? What do you see next year? Do you think you have a better team? The perfect example is the Toronto Raptors. 2 seasons ago, they started off 4-19, then went over 500 the rest of the way. Missed the playoffs by a long shot. But there were at least signs. Kept more or less the core intact. I know there were changes, but more or less, some key players stayed, and they started building on it. Made a few acquisitions that proved successful, brought a couple of kids along that are still works in progress, but they turn around and win 48 games or go to 7 games in the first round of the playoffs. This year, the expectations are high. Division championship. Some even think they'll contend for a conference championship. And add me to that list. I think that's, I don't know if it's probable, but it's certainly possible. No Raptor fan would think that the Raptors aren't capable of being the best team in the Eastern Conference. They're capable of it. That's what you want if you're a Toronto Maple Leaf fan. You want to see some development. You want to see some forward movement. And you want to be able to say, I can see a year from now, 2 years from now, whatever happens between now and then, I can see a year or 2 years from now, maybe with some tweaking or maybe just with some maturity, this team can be of championship caliber. Can you say that about the Toronto Maple Leafs? I don't think you can. And yet what we keep getting is Band-Aids over and over and over. And we've been getting Band-Aids for 40 plus years. How many times did we criticize the Calgary Flames for not taking it back down to the wood, as they say? Hanging on to a Ginla until they wind up getting next to nothing for him in relative terms. Trying to make the playoffs rather than try and build a team. And remember, if you take it down to the aforementioned wood, there's no guarantee you're going to win with it. See Edmonton. I know they've played a little better the last couple games. And maybe it'll work out for them. But at least they had the stones to say, we can't win with this group. We're going to start over. When has that happened in the history of the Toronto Maple Leafs? And I know that's not what you want to hear. But if I give you two names, all we're going to be talking about is two more Band-Aids. And the carcass of this franchise is covered in Band-Aids. Joe, we have you next. Hi.
Mr. McCallum.
Hi.
I just wanted to wish you all the best and that gentleman a couple calls ago. The reason for my calling today is that you just actually brought up something that I'd like to touch on quickly, and then I'll move quickly on to my comment. First of all, I don't believe you can win championships unless you're willing to take it down to the wood. There's very few examples of teams that just went along and kept rebuilding.
Well, you know, especially in an era where free agency has become almost irrelevant, and free agency in hockey is virtually irrelevant. There are almost no premium players available.
Everybody likes to bring up the Edmonton, but they forget there's Colorado, there's Tampa. They forget the Chicago one by taking it down.
Sure, you're right. You're right, 100%.
You also remember that Sidney Crosby wasn't the eighth overall pick. He was the first overall pick. I mean, you have to get those type of players, and that only happens at the very bottom of the draft, or the very top, I should say.
You know, I don't know what the Islanders are going to be, but the Islanders are another franchise that went to the bottom of the pool and wound up with Tavares. And I mean, he's one of the top five players in the NHL, and maybe leading them out of the wilderness finally this year. They're off to a pretty decent start.
100%, Bob. Couldn't agree with you more.
So that's how you do it. We all understand how you do it. But if you don't make that commitment, you know, if you don't get ridiculously lucky, right, and you don't make that commitment to take it down, you can't build it back up. The most you can aspire to is what the Toronto Maple Leafs have aspired to for the last 10 years. What has been the goal of the Toronto Maple Leafs the last 10 years?
Make the playoffs.
Thank you. Not win a cup, not be a contender, be one of the 16 best as opposed to one of the 14 worst. And out of those 10 years, how many times did they succeed and achieve their goal?
Once.
The most modest of all goals you could possibly have is the goal they have again this year, and they failed 90% of the time to reach that most modest goal. Now, I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I think there's a better way. And if you keep making the same mistakes over and over and over and over and over again, there's only one word for you. Dumb. I got to take the break. The roundtable is coming up. Stephen Brunt, John Shannon, Arash Madani will join us, and we'll address the Joe Maddon situation. Some surprising news out of Tampa. What does his future hold? And yes, we'll talk about it. Should the Blue Jays be interested? That's when Primetime continues on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.